Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to the Agriculture Show, and thanks for listening in today. It's a very warm September 1st of 2015, and my guest today is Bob Junkman, and he has brought some great music, so I'm going to invite him to tell us all about this first song here. I'm looking at our playlist, Bob, and it's a short one called Raff by Raffy, Singable Songs for the...
Singable Songs for the Very Young. It's an album that Raffy did probably in the very early 1990s for very young children, you know, children who are barely walking, barely talking. So the songs are easy to sing, tuneful, and if you want to jump into it, then we'll have a listen to that.
Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to play this song, and we'll come back and talk to Bob and get to know him a bit more, and we'll play the song first and see you in a short bit. Just stay tuned.
The more we get together, 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 the more we get together, the happier we'll be. 'Cause your friends are my friends, and my friends are your friends. The more we get together, the happier we'll be. Oh, the more we get together, 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 the more we get together, the happier we'll be. There's Chris and Tanya and Jason and Justin. The more we get together, the happier we'll be. Okay, are you ready to sing now? The more we get together, 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 the more we get together, the happier we'll be. 'Cause your friends are my friends, and my friends are your friends. The more we get together, the happier we'll be.
Hi, I'm Pastor Randy, pastor of Roseville United Brethren Church. You're listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. The goal of the Federation is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer and the needs of society.
Okay, thanks for listening in, folks. This is your host, Jeff Steger. This is episode number 133 of the Agriculture Show here on September 1st, 2015. My guest today is Bob Junkman, and we just played a good, fun song by Raffy. The more we get together, the happier we'll be. All right, let's get to know Bob. Bob is a resident here of the Waterloo region, and without getting too far ahead of myself, he's called Elmira home, I believe.
Yes, I'm up in Elmira.
Yeah, tell us about yourself, Bob. You're a family man?
Family man. Married, one son. He's at the University of Toronto. And been living in Elmira for about 15 years now. Nice rural community. I like it up there.
Yeah, 15 years is a long time. Where was your home before that?
Lived in Brampton before that, and actually lived in downtown Toronto before that. Grew up in Burlington. Been around a little bit in the southern Ontario area.
There's a lot of people who have are now calling our little area Kitchener-Waterloo, Region Waterloo home, who are similar to yourself, who have come from a large city environment and have decided this is just a great place to be.
Yeah.
And in Elmira and area, you are a computer programmer. What's your work and what's your hobbies? And of course, we'll get talking about what your another part of your thing too. But tell us about yourself.
I'm a computer consultant. Yeah. I do systems administration, computer design for generally large corporations. Just finished a big contract with Toronto Hydro. Looking for other big contract work like that. But I'll do small work too. So web development, you know, anything that needs fixing. And I've really taken a shine to teaching lately. I had a contract a little bit earlier where I got a chance to teach people who are become unemployed off mechanical lines, you know, the machinists and assembly workers, and had no practical computer skills that they could call their own. So working through the working center in downtown Kitchener, I taught some of those people basic computer skills, and I found it just so tremendously rewarding that I'd like to do some more work in that field, teaching some more computer skills.
You probably remember the first time you saw a computer and you said, "Oh my gosh, if I touch the keys, it's going to blow up."
Oh, yeah. Everybody has that fear, but that doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. That's true. But that first feeling is that I press the wrong key.
Yeah. Well, that's why guys like me exist, you know, to put the keys back together again.
Yeah. Shouldn't worry too much about that. You have time for hobbies, Bob. What do you like to do in your spare time in the Elmira area?
I spend a lot of time doing computing as a hobby, too.
Yes.
Involved in a lot of the local user groups in the area here. Maintain a calendar called WattCamp, which lists all the technical events in Waterloo region.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look that up online. Used to be a scuba diver. Haven't done that much lately. It's an expensive hobby, that is.
Yeah.
You know, get all the gear together and, you know, it's an expensive thing.
Yeah.
So I haven't done much in the way of scuba diving lately, but I did a lot of bicycling, too. Bicycle actually hasn't been out of the basement this year, so that's a bit unfortunate.
Yeah, that happens, but it's there.
It's there, yeah. Go out for tours in the rural area. Beautiful country up there, you know, long stretches of road. Just lovely out there.
Well, Elmira has lots to go for because, A, it is close to the Twin Cities, the three main cities in the region of Waterloo, and all those amenities that come with that. But it's also just on the cusp of miles and miles of urban or rural Ontario with all those open fields and vistas and things to see and do. So you're pretty lucky in Elmira that way.
It is, yeah.
And you got the big city close by and the other part of Ontario being an urban or rural experience.
It's I think what they call an ex-urban environment, just outside of the urban area, not suburban, but not entirely rural either.
Mm-hmm.
So, good settlement area in Elmira.
I don't know why, but how many people are living in Elmira? Like, this township of Woolwich, so what are you guys, about 40,000 people now or something?
Woolwich itself is only about 25,000 people.
25,000?
Yeah, I think the three townships, Woolwich, Wellesley, and Wilmot together, are about 75,000 all told.
I think you're right. I do remember that.
Yeah. Elmira itself probably has a population of around 4,000 to 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of new development going on up there, though.
Mm-hmm.
So just to the north of Church Street, a huge development that's probably going to add an additional 1,000 homes, an additional 3,000 to 4,000 people.
Oh, my.
So that's a lot of stuff. And that's going to take a few years. I mean, it's not all happening at once. They're building it up in stages.
And the occasional farm machinery and tractor rolling by.
See a lot of that, actually. there's a fair number of farmers who come out to town to shop in Elmira, and they're on the tractor to do that.
Yeah. Let's play another song, Bob. We're going to... We brought a couple, another one, I guess we should do the backstory. The first one was a kid's story. This one that's coming up is, Old MacDonald had a...
Old MacDonald had a band off the same album, the Raffi album.
And this is because, this is for your kids.
Anyway. This is the origin for my kids. My son spent a lot of time listening to Raffi when he was younger, and I listened to this album over and over and over simply because my son was wanting to listen to it so often. Yeah. So I figured Old MacDonald has you know, sort of an agricultural theme to it.
Well, you're very thoughtful. Thanks for doing
this
that.
This is Old MacDonald had a band.
Okay, let's play this one, and we'll be back and talk some more about Bob and what he's doing right now. Just stay tuned. See you in a short bit.
Old MacDonald had a band, E-I-E-I-O, and in this band he had a guitar, E-I-E-I-O, with a here and a there, here a there a everywhere a. Old MacDonald had a band, E-I-E-I-O, and in this band he had a jug, E-I-E-I-O, with a here and a there and a here and a there, here a there a everywhere a. Old MacDonald had a band, E-I-E-I-O, and in this band he had a banjo, E-I-E-I-O, with a here and a there and a here and a there and a here and a there, here a there a everywhere a. Old MacDonald had a band, E-I-E-I-O, and in this band he had a fiddle, E-I-E-I-O, with a here and a there and a here and a there and a here and a there and a here and a there, here a there a everywhere a. Old MacDonald had a band, E-I-E-I-O, in this band he had some singers, E-I-E-I-O, with a
la-la,
here and a
la-la,
there and a here and a 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 there, here a there a everywhere a
la-la. Old MacDonald had a band, E-I-E-I-O. Old MacDonald had a band, E-I-E-I-O.
Hi, this is Sandy MacDonald. You are listening to the Agricultural Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFAA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society. Good luck on that.
Thanks for doing that, Sandy.
No problem.
It was good. Oh, I forgot that happened in that one. That was kind of fun. So Sandy is a local musician that came on that show.
Yeah. Sandy did some of the kids' songs as well.
Yeah.
He used to be a member of the Beardo Brothers.
That's right.
And I saw him frequently in downtown Elmira as he was playing on the Canada Day celebration. So, yeah.
It's a small world, and you were a long-term resident here to know that. Sandy's out there with the Beardo Brothers. Well, I think they still do the Oktoberfest gig, too.
Yeah. I've seen Sandy playing in Lederhosen.
Yeah. So. Oh, there's a site.
Yeah, I'll bet that is.
He's a big friendly guy, so it's just worked out really actually quite okay. just want to welcome you back, listeners, to our show today. We got to know Bob a little bit about where he's living and raising the family and why he likes Raffy's kids hits there so much, because his kids liked them so much.
That's right, yeah.
Well, glad to play them. We got some more about Raffy, which probably more ties in with our show here a little bit later on. But now we want to get to know what Bob does and what he's busy at for the next few months. Just welcome Bob here. It's an election right now, and I'll let Bob tell his story about what he's doing.
Yeah, it is an election. You're asking me about hobbies, and I don't know if you can actually call it a hobby, but I've been sticking my nose into politics for a number of years now. Back in 2007, there was a provincial election with a referendum about electoral reform, and I got involved in that. And, you know, just initially just putting up signs and putting a calendar on a webpage for the Fair Vote group. But that escalated, and I ended up getting involved with the Fair Vote Canada group, mm-hmm. To the point where I ended up on the executive board of Fair Vote Waterloo region. And I've been seeing the deficit in democracy, you know, just across the entire country. You know, people tell you, you know, you can't just talk about it. You've got to do something about it. So in 2009 or so, there was a movement called the Pirate Party. Pirate Party is a political party that's interested in copyright reform. And I stuck my nose into that one.
Okay.
Ended up as the executive director of the Pirate Party, and signing the registration papers to make them an officially registered party, political party in Canada. But they don't get a lot of attention. We had one candidate running here in the 2011 election. As a Pirate Party member, he did fairly well, but you know, he was right down at the bottom of the list for the number of votes that he gathered. So although I could have run as a member of the Pirate Party here, I'm actually now a member of the Green Party and running in Kitchener-Conestoga, the Elmira area, down to Breslau, Wellesley, Wilmot, as a member of the Green Party.
Hmm. And that's quite, so you're coming into it with, I guess it wasn't a burst of gunfire, it's just sort of you just sort of found yourself doing politics and becoming a candidate.
That's right.
It's a big riding. How many, is 100,000 voters, I think, is what they're looking for in the riding?
It's about 93,000 in the entire riding,
mm-hmm.
Split between the three W townships, Woolwich, where Elmira is, Wellesley and Wilmot,
mm-hmm.
and then a small chunk of Kitchener, just west of Fisher Hallman Road.
Mm-hmm.
So the geographic area is tremendous. You know, it goes all the way from the southeast in Breslau, stretches up all the way around to Elmira, back down through Wellesley, and then hits the southwest area of Kitchener. And it's actually smaller now than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
The electoral districts were redrawn around 2013. So we actually have a new district in Waterloo Region now, the Kitchener yes. South Hespeler area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there candidates for the Green Party in all five ridings? It might be pretty hard to fill the slate everywhere.
We got the last candidate in Cambridge. Michelle Braniff is the Green Party candidate in Cambridge. And we have candidates in every other area now as well, every other riding as well.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, it can be hard to get candidates in for a lot of these elections, so hats off to anybody who attempts to do it, and that's a good thing. And, yeah. and it's interesting to hear your beginnings about your concern about democracy in Canada,
right.
and if I got that right.
So. Yeah.
What are you finding on the campaign trail? We're into the fourth week of a campaign that ends on October 19th. Yeah, so are we halfway
almost
through?
11 weeks. No, not even close.
No.
We started at the beginning of August, and we're just at the end of that now. So next week, Sunday, will be the end of the fifth week.
Mm.
Haven't done a great deal of campaigning yet. Mm. One of the difficulties with such a long campaign is that the funds run out more quickly.
Yeah.
They run out much earlier than the actual voting day. So I've been pacing myself somewhat, unintentionally. Election signs have just come in, so we'll be spending the next couple of weeks putting up election signs around Kitchener-Conestoga, and we'll be knocking on doors shortly after that.
And I guess there's the usual collection of debates out there.
Yes.
Put on by anywhere from the Chamber of Commerce to the Social Planning Councils, you name it. How many different debates do you anticipate going to?
Well, there's a number of them. There's the Chamber of Commerce one. I've been invited to that. Rogers is having a televised debate. Mm-hmm. I've been invited to that. The Social Planning Council has said there will be a debate, but they haven't established a venue for Kitchener-Conestoga yet. So mm-hmm. that date and obviously the venue hasn't been announced yet, but I'm told that I'll be invited when that happens. Mm-hmm. Fair Vote Waterloo is also having a set of debates, one in each electoral district, for the purpose of talking about electoral reform, changing the voting system to have something where you actually have a proportional outcome based on the number of votes that are cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll tell you a bit more about that in a bit.
Well, that's a good point. There was especially in today's Kitchener Record, there's a little bit about proportional voting and some of those, what we can look forward to the next House of Commons.
Yeah.
That issue will probably come up.
That'd be nice.
It's interesting this year that your leader, Elizabeth May, was actually on one of the leadership debates. And in 2006, the Green Party was shut out from those national things. But this year, the first debate, run by McLean's, in fact, did have Elizabeth on there.
Yeah, that was good to see.
It was.
And unfortunately, the debate organizers for the other debates, the Global Monk debates, and there's a number of other debates, it's being handled differently this election cycle, where there are specific topics that are to be discussed at some of these debates.
Yes.
And in most of the other debates, Elizabeth May has not been invited. So the excuse there, from what I understand, is that the Greens don't actually form an official party in Parliament because they've only got the two sitting members. They've now got a new third member, José Núñez Melo from Quebec, I believe. They've got three members now, which still isn't sufficient to attain party status in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And so because they're not an official party, they've been excluded from debates. So goes the excuse. My counter to that is that back in the day when the Conservatives or the Progressive Conservatives were decimated down to only two seats in Parliament, the rules were changed to allow a party with only two seats to still be an official party in Parliament. So,
my gosh, you're right.
Yeah, that excuse doesn't wash with me. And then, of course, there's some of the other debates where Prime Minister Harper has chosen not to participate.
Yeah.
And then most recently, Thomas Mulcair, leader of the NDP, has chosen not to participate in a debate on women's issues. And because of that, the two-party leaders, Stephen Harper and Thomas Mulcair, not being there, the whole debate was cancelled.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll not hear any of the party's positions on women's issues in this election cycle.
Yeah.
And, that's a democratic deficit right there.
It's a real, it's a really unusual, it's always a surprise how things unfold.
Yeah.
Perhaps because this is a longer campaign, there's certainly time for the various party strategists to reassess their situation and maybe want to go back to a debate.
Yeah.
You can hope so, anyway.
Yeah. The nice thing is that the Internet's available. You know, anybody can post something on the Internet. YouTube's available. Everybody has a website. So the message can get out. But now the citizens have to go out and look for it in many different areas. It would be so much better if the mainstream media could gather together and offer a comprehensive debate with all the leaders to be seen by the entire country. That way everybody gets the same information, gets to make the same decisions.
We're getting ready to play another song, but I'd like to invite you one more time. If there's anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about the Green Party, why they should vote Green.
Green Party has a tremendously wide spectrum of policies, right from the environment, which is important to anybody engaged in agriculture. Farmers are green by nature because they want to preserve their own lands, right down to economic policies. So it affects everybody, and Green can no longer really be considered a left-wing party because economic policies are fiscally conservative and the environmental policies are socially aware.
I appreciate those words. We can follow up with some of them in our last segment in case something comes to mind we want to add to the Green Party policies and so on.
Sure.
But now we're going to play some of our music, and in sticking with Raffi.
Ah, more Raffi.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about this. The one song's 28 seconds and the other's 1:06. Should we just play them together?
You can play them together. Sure.
Why not?
Sure.
And so tell us what that is before I play them.
Okay. So Raffi has been on the scene for 25 years or more. And it turns out that a lot of the kids who listened to his singable songs for the very young as toddlers are now a voting age.
Okay.
And so Raffi's been tremendously present on social media, Twitter and Facebook and places like that. And it's incredible the response that he's getting from the young voters. Now, young voters are a demographic area that doesn't really come out in large numbers to vote. So Raffi's actually doing tremendous work here in bringing up the number of voters, increasing the voter turnout amongst the young voters.
Oh, okay.
And it's important that they understand the issues behind voting. And I think with some of these songs here and these two short clips that he's recorded specifically for the election, that the young voters may get the idea that voting is an important thing to do.
Alrighty, let's play them, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned, folks. That's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM.
I want my Canada back. I want my Canada back. October 19th, we all can vote. Get our Canada back. I want my Canada back. I want my Canada back. October 19th, we all can vote. To get our Canada back. The more we vote together.
Oh, vote, vote, vote for democracy. Vote, vote, vote for the right to be free. Yes, vote, vote, vote for democracy. Stand on guard for your country. We live in a land are free. We live in a place with democracy. On election day we can all have a say in who'll lead this country. So vote, vote, vote for democracy. Vote, vote, vote for the right to be free. Yes, vote, vote, vote for democracy. Stand on guard for your country. Stand on guard for Canada.
Hi, this is Moses Bogart from Straight Out of the Pit Punk Rock Radio. You are listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. If you like local, independent, and southwestern Ontario punk rock, then tune in to Straight Out of the Pit Punk Rock Radio, Tuesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. on CKMS 100.3 Sound FM.
A little promo for my next DJ on tonight is Moses Bogart, so listen in tonight, like some punk rock radio, Straight Out of the Pit Radio. They're listening right now to the Agriculture Show. It's your host, Jeff Steger. My guest today is Bob Jonkman, and he is a candidate in the next federal election for the Green Party in the Conestoga Kitchener riding.
Kitchener-Conestoga.
That's right. Okay, got that backwards. And so we got a little bit to know about Bob and family in the first segment, second, a little bit about the Green Party. And this is the third segment, so this is where we'd like to ask our guests, basically, what do you know about agriculture that you would tell someone on the street? Now, I know you eat three times a day, so you already qualify.
Oh, yes. Farmers feed people. I've seen the bumper sticker.
All right. Farmers feed cities, I think that's
the old. Farmers feed cities. Yeah, yes, that's the old, true.
But they've come up with a new logo now, I think. So.
Okay.
Yep. I was going to... That there pamphlet I was telling you about is actually up on our list there. It's called
The Real Dirt on Farming.
Yeah. So you're welcome to grab one of those. I guess I could have got you prepped up for that. But this is just in case you needed some ideas to talk from. But what would you tell people about agriculture? I mean, the world doesn't end at the edge of the city. There's a whole...
But the cities are expanding. Mm. So, and I'm seeing that in Elmira now. You know, there's all the new development happening in the north part of the city. And that new development is actually happening right on former farms. There were two farms just north of Church Street in Elmira. And they've been raised over and, streets are being built, houses are going up. And, that's a little bit of a concern. You'll see farmland being turned into subdivisions, but you'll never see a subdivision going back to farmland.
That's true. It's a one-way street.
That farmland is gone forever.
That's right.
And, as long as farmers need to feed cities, there has to be farmland to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of a concern to me that it's so easy for the farmland to be turned into a residential development.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly not sustainable.
Yeah.
And the Green Party has no specific policy for that. Municipal affairs is a provincial jurisdiction.
Yeah.
But certainly there can be an overall policy to have a sustainable environment, which does not include paving over farmland.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. For a lot of people, they might not realize the level of conversion of farmland to and have not thought about the consequences.
Right.
Well, not necessarily good or bad, but there are consequences. I appreciate your talking about that's what you would tell people.
As a farmer, a farmer has a vested interest in his land. So most farmers would want to have a sustainable environment, which is certainly a green policy.
Mm-hmm.
Farmers are certainly thinking green and acting green today. They may not necessarily be voting green, and I'd like to change that. but the farmers do have the best interests of the land at hand because, it's their livelihood that's at stake. Mm-hmm. And as a result of the need for farming, it's everybody's livelihood at stake to have a good sustainable environment.
Mm-hmm. When you get into the urban sections of your riding, do those persons have questions about agriculture? Does it ever come across?
I haven't actually heard many questions about agriculture.
Yeah.
Certainly, it's tar sands and oil extraction, fossil fuels, carbon dioxide, those environmental issues. The questions don't or haven't yet extended to agricultural policies.
Okay. But it sounds like you'd be able to... you have an inkling of what that might be. I guess what it illustrates is, in fact, probably for a lot of people, that's not their day-to-day concern.
No.
But agriculture is part of the whole scheme of things. And with people like yourself who are, for whatever reason, keeping up to date on agricultural stuff, this is a good thing.
Yeah. The other thing that concerns me and where farmers will see trouble in the future is some of these large global trade deals that the federal government is currently engaged in.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to determine what's in them because those trade deals are top secret. Information about that has to be leaked out through covert channels, WikiLeaks and other sources that may or may not be accurate. But what we're seeing out of those trade deals is not good for the farmer.
Mm-hmm.
The global economy does not want to see countries subsidizing the farmers. They want to be able to compete with them on an equal footing, at their reduced rates of labor. And that's just not good for Canada as a whole. Mm. Having, quotas and subsidies for farm goods, farm products, leads to stability.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much your egg is going to cost tomorrow. Whereas if you're entirely dependent on, market rates and allowing an influx of goods from foreign countries, you have no idea, either how those goods are produced, you know, whether they're up to the same agricultural standards that Canada has, and how much you're going to be charged for that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it's quite a, it can be quite a ride following the price of international commodities.
Yeah.
And it's all great fun if it was just iPods and other gear like that and hockey equipment, but when it's...
Those are all non-essential. Yeah. You know, farming is not, is essential. It is not an optional item.
It's probably a lot to do with that, agriculture continues to be, for lack of a better word, the stumbling block to larger trading agreements in the world. And it's probably because most countries do realize, holy smokes, we just can't be held hostage here. No, we're going to support our agriculture no matter what, because we're not going to be held hostage by the whims of some other country based on whatever political flavor that's going on.
Canada and the U.S. both have the advantage of having a large area and not a tremendous population to fill that up. So we have the room for the farms. You get into some of the smaller European countries, and it's all people and very little room for farming. So in those countries, they certainly have come up with good agricultural policies to allow the farms to continue to exist, not fear development. Mm-hmm. Thinking here of the Netherlands, I was born in the Netherlands, grew up there for the first 8 years of my life anyway. And you see the farmlands there, and they're pristine, and they that those are going to be there, a decade from now, 50 years from now, because if it wasn't for those farms, the rest of the population wouldn't get fed.
Mm-hmm.
So we need something similar here in Canada, protect the farmland and ensure that the farmers continue to be able to provide food for everybody else.
It's true. There's lots of examples from the European community of attitudes and support towards agriculture that are different from our experience here.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with traumatic events like world wars where whole populations were hungry. Europeans decided that will never happen again.
I hope not.
They put a policy in place that would never happen again.
But some of those policies are the subsidy policies that these international trade agreements are trying to undermine now.
Yeah, we don't. That's the trouble.
What
are they trying to do here? I think most of us people get the idea. Sure, general trade's good, but it's uncertain. We don't know.
If this was an open and public process where the public and the farmers and everybody had some input into these trade deals, we'd be able to make the opinions known and let the lawmakers understand that this is just not good for the Canadian economy, for the Canadian agricultural economy.
Anybody ever asked you on your traveling around whether cow tipping is possible or not possible?
I've only heard about that. I would not have any clue at all how to tip a cow. I'm the wrong guy to ask about cow tipping.
I think there's something in that book that you've got. So I propose that we'll play the next song, and we'll come back in our second segment about, and we'll see if we can find the answer to that.
All right.
Another serious question. So tell us about this next song, Bob, if you would, please. I have on here a song. I think Josh Woodward.
Josh Woodward.
Yeah.
Josh Woodward. He's been singing and songwriting for a number of years. He releases all his songs as free culture, which means that they're available at no cost, but you have the free means, you have the freedom to make copies, to re-perform it, to change the lyrics, to modify the music. You have the freedom to alter and improve the work. Which is, somewhat contrary to the regular copyright laws, which say, you may not copy this, you may not modify it, you may not redistribute it or perform it in public. So this leads to another Green Party policy issue, the free culture, the open source movement in software. But Josh here has a song called Home Improvement, which actually deals directly with the destruction of farmland. Mm. So if... You're ready to play that, then you can have a listen to that, because it ties right into what I was speaking about earlier.
I'll do that. Home Improvement, the guy that was on that Home Alone show is now 30 years...
Oh, yes, Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, he's like 35 years old or something.
Oh, could be. It's at least that long ago.
All right, we'll play Home Improvement, and we'll come back with some more answers to agricultural questions, trivia, and all that kind of cool stuff. See you in a short bit.
younger men, until the fields got paved with asphalt and they took away my land. And now the monument before us, it stands so tall and proud, a glorious new mini mall upon the earth that I once plowed. Oh, I sold my house out in the country to rent a trailer by the mall. It's not so bad, except the kitchen's just a little small. I got a job at the local hardware store where I work till 5 o'clock. Now they build another home improvement palace down the block. Oh, oh, what's the sense of all this home improvement? Well, I like my home the way it was before. If this is what our town has come to stand for, I don't think we need improvement anymore. I lost my job at the hardware store when the owner closed it down. He said the rent was just too high to keep his family in this town. He sold his house to an executive who tore it down to build a new one. A $1 million mansion with a $20 view. Oh, what's the sense of all this home improvement? Well, I like my home the way it was before. Well, if this is what our town has come to stand for, I don't think we need improvement anymore. Whoa.
I'm Zach Williams from Waterloo Junior Farmers. You're listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of the society.
Okay, thanks for listening today, folks. We're in our last segment with my guest today, Bob Chunkman, and we'll just kind of review stuff and we'll kind of talk about stuff that came up that we want to get back to. Just remind our viewers that the reason why we played so much Raffi was because Bob raised his family with Raffi as their... Did I have got that right?
And Rafi's now a big Green Party supporter. It's funny to see some of the kids that, you know, probably listen to his music. As Rafi retweets their tweets, they're all enthusiastic. Oh, Rafi retweeted me. I got friended by Rafi. It's a tremendous, you know, come around, a continuity that exists now.
Mm-hmm. A nice thing. And so you've called the Kitchener Waterloo area home, Elmira, for 15 years. And you're in the computer business in various paying capacities and volunteer capacities.
And volunteer capacities too, yes.
So, and this would be a good time to point out to your lovely wife as a comp view on your quest today. Would you like to introduce your...
Yes. My campaign manager and spouse, Laurel Russell, is here with us today taking some pictures, so we'll probably see those posted online shortly.
Hi, Laura. How you doing?
Good.
through the magic of radio, we had to tell people that we have, other guests and things are going on. So it's a very much a family thing. Yep. I need everybody to be in supporting what you're doing.
Yes.
All politicians would say their spouse and family are probably their most important.
Absolutely. Yes.
Just to support them what they're doing and be ready for a crazy life for a while.
It is a crazy life. I mean, politics isn't my upbringing or anything like that. It's mm-hmm. something that I've just acquired, relatively recently for the last 7 or 8 years is my entire political experience. So, and that was largely with Fair Vote Canada. Right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm happy to see that in this election that issue of fair voting is taking a forefront. The Green Party strongly supports that. The Pirate Party strongly supports that. It's on the platform for the NDP. It's been talked about by the Liberal Party. So and number of websites now all dealing with trying to eliminate the current system of voting, the first past the post system.
Mm-hmm.
Where you've got the oddity of about 39% of the voters voting for a particular party that then gets a majority of the seats in parliament, gets all the power, even though 60% of the population voted against them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even worse than that because we're only getting about 40% voter turnout. And hopefully Rafi can increase those numbers amongst the young voters.
Mm-hmm.
But with only about 60% of the people voting and only 39% of those people voting, you're getting maybe 24-25% of the people determining who the government is. So Fair Vote's thrust for the last 10-12 years has been to achieve a way of getting a proportional outcome in Parliament. So that
right.
when 39% of the voters vote for a party, that party only gets 39% of the seats in Parliament.
Right.
Of course, it's a self-interest thing. The Green Party, which got around 750,000 votes in the last election, should have received around 12 to 13 seats because of that, but they only got the one seat.
Mm-hmm.
In the election before that, the Bloc Québécois and the Greens got about 1 million votes each. The Greens in 2008 got no seats at all, and the Bloc Québécois got around 40, and that's mm-hmm. because of regional concentration.
Right.
So proportional representation aims to change all that, and you get 10% of the votes, you get 10% of the seats just like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the idea has been passed around for a while. I think there's one suggestion that may happen yet in our lifetimes. There's some idea that they might introduce proportional representation of sorts at the municipal level.
Yes.
For the next election.
They're talking about ranked ballots for that.
Okay.
Having a ranked ballot where you have a number of representatives, councillors in a ward, multi-member wards usually, where there's more than one councillor that's representing that ward. And you rank the various candidates on the ballot. So, one for your top choice, two for your second choice. And depending on how the ballot is run, it can either be an exhaustive ballot where you have to rank every candidate on the ballot, or you can only rank your first, second, and third choice, or maybe just your first choice if you want.
Right.
That way, you end up getting a more proportional outcome in the candidates that are actually selected. So you might have candidates who are particularly interested in an issue of, the LRT, the ION in the Waterloo region is a big issue here.
Yeah.
And if it turns out that, public opinion is about 60% in favor and 40% against, then the council that is elected should have about 60% of the councillors in favor and 40% against. But what ends up happening in single-member wards, you get one councillor getting 60% of the votes who's in favor, but that happens in every ward. So across the board, you end up getting all the councillors with 60% being in favor of one particular issue, but that's not represented across there. So the ranked ballots hopes to eliminate that by having multi-member wards and you know, a spectrum of opinion being represented on a council. Yeah. And the same sort of thing should happen federally, too. Now, if federal ridings are multi-member ridings, this is only one of many ways of achieving proportionality, but you got a whole spectrum of ideas represented in Parliament.
There's probably be a couple or three different websites or groups that are interested in proportional representation. Yeah. I guess if you went online, you could dig around and find them.
A lot of those websites are interested in finding a way around the current system, the first-past-the-post, technically called a single-member plurality.
Right.
So if you have one large party on one side of the political spectrum and a number of smaller parties on the other side of the political spectrum, you end up splitting the vote between the small parties, and so the large party with the one viewpoint ends up getting most of the seats across the House. So the way that these websites are proposing to address it is through a means of strategic voting, finding the candidate who's most likely to unseat the incumbent in a particular ward, and then having all the other people who have pledged to vote in a particular way vote together in order to get that incumbent candidate unseated. Mm-hmm. It's a form of strategic voting. There have been other strategic voting attempts tried in the past, vote swapping, for example, where you elect a candidate who's likely to be elected in your riding, even if that isn't your first choice, in exchange for somebody else doing the opposite in a different riding.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah. Vaguely.
That was vote pair. That was a big thing in 2011.
Yeah.
And there was another strategic voting attempt called Catch-22, also in 2011. The thing about all these strategic voting attempts, vote together, vote pair, Catch-22, is that they don't work. If there was any idea, any evidence of them working, it's certainly lost as you know, just noise in the election results and the statistics of the election results. And if it had actually worked, we wouldn't have ended up with a majority government elected with only 39% of the vote in the past election.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no evidence that it works, and in fact there's evidence countering that strategic voting works. So my advice to everybody is you should vote for the candidate who will best represent you locally. Now, find a candidate in your agricultural riding who knows about agricultural issues and vote for that candidate who will best represent you locally.
Mm-hmm.
People say that the Green Party has no hope of winning an election. You know, nobody votes for the Green Party. Well, that's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If people voted for the Green Party, then the Green Party would have a chance of winning.
Mm-hmm.
And if it should turn out that there is a minority government where the minority players are all in favor of proportional representation, I really hope that that gets passed fairly quickly into the new election term, into the new parliament. So that,
you know, politics is a strange thing. Can you imagine a split, 150 votes apiece, and Elizabeth May has this deciding power?
Well, that's not necessarily the case, because because you've got the four parties here, it's not likely to be quite that evenly split.
Right.
But there's nothing to prevent one of those parties from altering their policies or from modifying their legislation to actually address a larger amount of the needs to siphon some of those votes off from the other parties. Now, one of the issues with that is that not all parties allow free votes in parliamentary elections. You know, some of the most of the time votes are whipped, where the party whip, the enforcer for the caucus, tells the members of parliament how they must vote. And anybody who doesn't vote according to the way that the whip says is kicked out of caucus.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've seen that a couple of times already in the last little while. The two other Green Party members, Bruce Heyer and Jose Nunes Melo, have both crossed the floor from the NDP because of the very issue of whipped votes, where they had to vote on an issue against the will of their constituents. Green Party has no whipped votes.
Yeah.
Green Party has a policy of not whipping any of their votes. So by voting in a Green Member of Parliament, you know that that Member of Parliament will represent the citizens to Parliament and not be a spokesperson for the party to the constituents.
You're well versed in some of these interesting parts of democracy. You're also have an awareness of agricultural stuff, and just to reiterate, you had observed that the TPP may be at risk of farmers. And yeah. What else did we talk about when it came to agriculture?
There's a number of other issues. A lot of them are provincial issues. For example, the Elmira has this huge biogas plant that's pretty much in the middle of town. It's just slightly to the north there, but truck traffic delivering the raw materials for biodigesting travel right through the middle of town, and it's a large plant. It's a tremendously large plant. Some 500 megawatts of power are produced by that, and the process itself is clean. It's carbon neutral. Any of the carbon dioxide that's produced by burning the methane produced by the digestion has been absorbed by the material in the first place. So it's a clean process. What isn't clean is the transport that's required to get the raw materials to the plant in the first place. So it's important in a case like that you're not pulling in the material from too large an area. If a truck has to travel several thousand kilometers to get to the biogas plant, they're probably using more fuel to deliver the raw materials than the energy that raw material has to deliver in the first place. So you're probably better off burning the fuel for energy in the first place rather than having to transport it halfway across the province to get it to a large biogas plant. What would be good is to have small biogas plants at each farm. If the farmers themselves can have their own biodigesters, they can have some fuel independence, eliminate some of the waste that gets produced by the animals and field stubble and what else have you. And there's no transport requirements except for that, just required to haul it across the field into the digester. Mm-hmm. But hauling stuff across the country, to have a clean process at the end just doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where agricultural issues do come across the table for residents and candidates like yourself.
They do.
I'm sure you'd encourage everyone to get out and vote, and also to keep a little bit of ear down for what are agricultural issues. Mm-hmm. What do you think are some of the other agricultural things that are happening in the region in the riding of Kitchener-Conestoga that you think maybe your urban neighbors should know?
Preserving farmland is an important one. So the sale of farmland for a quick and easy buck is not good for the community at large. Mm-hmm. One of the nice things in the area here is that we've got a couple of local farm exchanges. There's a vegetable exchange just north of Elmira. There's a huge potato exchange in St. Jacobs. So we're actually getting local produce being sold in our grocery stores, and that's a tremendous thing. Having local food available is far better than having to ship it across the country, and far, far better than having to ship it in from international locations.
Hmm. We can play one more song here before we wrap up our show today. We're doing pretty good here. We're going to get this all done in an hour, and your DJ just loves it when you get a show done in an hour. we'll ask you, though, which one would you like to play next? I have The Arrogant Worms and The Last Saskatchewan Pirate, or Lynn Russworm and The Girl in the Blue Flame something.
Lynn Russworm is my father-in-law, and his music is freely available on the Internet. So I suggest we play The Last Saskatchewan Pirate instead. Last Saskatchewan Pirate actually deals with the issue of the difficulty in running a farm and not being able to afford to keep your farm up and turning to another source of income because the farm just isn't generating enough revenue.
So where did you first hear this song?
It's Arrogant Worms are a Canadian band.
Yes.
And I must have heard them probably 10, 15 years ago. Ran across them someplace on the internet in all likelihood.
Well, good choice. We'll play it.
All right.
All right. We'll be right back before our final bit of the show, but stay tuned, folks. Stay locked in. We'll be back real shortly.
I used to be a farmer and I made a living fine. I had a little stretch of land along the CP line. But times went by, and though I tried, the money wasn't there. And bankers came and took my land and told me fair is fair. I looked for every kind of job, the answer always no. Hire you now, they'd always laugh, we just let 20 go. The government They promised me a measly little sum, but I've got too much pride to end up just another bum. Then I thought, who gives a damn if all the jobs are gone? I'm gonna be a pirate on the River Saskatchewan. 'Cause it's a heave-ho, hi-ho, coming down the plains, stealing wheat and barley and all the other grains. It's a ho, hey, hi, hey, farmers bar your doors when you see the Jolly Roger on Regina's mighty shores. Well, you'd think the local farmers would know that I'm at large, but just the other day I found an unprotected barge. I snuck up right behind them and they were none the wiser. I rammed their ship and sank it and I stole their fertilizer. A bridge outside of Moose Jaw spans a mighty river. Farmers cross in so much fear their stomachs are a quiver, 'cause they know that Tractor Jack is hiding in the bay. I'll jump the bridge and knock them cold and sail off with their hay. 'Cause it's a hee-ho, hi-ho, coming down the plains, stealing wheat and barley and all the other grains. It's a ho, hey, hi, hey, farmers bar your doors when you see the Jolly Roger on Regina's mighty shores. Well, Mounty Bob, he chased me, he was always at my throat. He'd follow on the shoreline, but he didn't own a boat. But cutbacks were a-comin', so the Mounty lost his job. So now he's sailing with me, and we call him Salty Bob. A swinging sword, a skull and bones, and pleasant company. I never pay my income tax and screw the GST.
Screw it!
It's Albert down to Saskatoon, the terror of the sea. If you wanna reach the co-op, boy, you gotta get by me. 'Cause it's a heave-ho, hi-ho, coming down the plains, stealing wheat, barley, and all the other grains. It's a ho, hey, hi, hey, farmers bar your doors when you see the Jolly Roger on Regina's mighty shores.
Arrgh, matey! Get it? Matey?
Oh, hey, hey, that's really funny. You know, like Louis Riel?
Well, pirate life's appealing, but you don't just find it here. I've heard that in Alberta, there's a band of buccaneers. They roam the Athabasca from Smith to Fort McKay, and you're gonna lose your Stetson if you have to pass their way. Well, winter is a-coming, and a chill is in the breeze. My pirate days are over once the river starts to freeze. I'll be back in springtime, but now I have to go. I hear there's lots of plundering down in New Mexico. 'Cause it's a heave-ho, hi-ho, coming down the plains, stealing wheat and barley and all the other grains. It's a ho, hey, hi, hey, farmers bar your doors when you see the Jolly Roger on Regina's mighty shores. It's a heave-ho, hi-ho, coming down the plains, stealing wheat and barley and all the other grains. It's a ho, hey, hi, hey, farmers bar your doors when you see the Jolly Roger on Regina's mighty shores. When you see the Jolly Roger on Regina's mighty shores.
Hi, this is Bob Jonkman, candidate for the Green Party. You're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. The WFA goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Thanks for doing that, Bob.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I hope so. I was hoping you would start off with the word "arrr." But that's what we're doing here on our show today, folks, is bringing people from our great region of Waterloo onto our show and talk about agriculture, talk about what they do. And Bob, it's been great fun to do that. We're going to talk about cow tipping.
Cow tipping.
What did you decide to cow tipping? Is that possible or not possible? What would be your best guess?
My guess is that it's possible, because cows tend to be top-heavy. It's all legs underneath and cow body on top.
Okay.
So I think if you were able to pull the feet out from under them, they'd go right over.
Yeah. Well, that sounds pretty reasonable. But unfortunately, that'd be a tough one to do. Now, I know university students are reputed to have actually done it, but the darn cow, he's got four legs, and they doesn't like to have them lifted no matter what.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It does not like that.
I wouldn't like that either.
No.
Yeah.
Like, just so... we'll leave that, folks, to as one of those mysteries to be further investigated. So, Bob, thanks for coming today. Just tell us a little bit about what are you doing the next 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months? What's your schedule look like?
Next couple of hours, I'm going to be up at the Waterloo Green Campaign Office on 42 Herb Street East. So, short little walk from here. And for the rest of the week, probably I'll be putting up some signs. And then I'm hoping to take a short little break, going up north, spending some time away from all the rush and hubbub, and coming back to do door-to-door campaigning, pounding the pavement, talking to people, and probably putting up more signs and doing debates and interviews and all sorts of campaign-type things.
Campaign-type things. I like it. That's right. And it's that time of year. Canadians go to the polls for October 19th, and certainly encourage everyone to get out and vote.
Vote. Yes. Vote for the candidate who will best represent you.
Yeah. Good stuff. This is awesome. Great show. Thanks so much, Bob. Just thanks for coming in. I know you're a busy guy, but thanks for finding time to come in.
You're welcome, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
All right. Okay, folks, that's it for today's show. This episode number 133. We'll be doing episode number 134 next. And remember, if you eat this week, thank a farmer. And we'll talk to you later. Bye for now.